are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Science explains the how and faith explains the why. So the saying goes. But what happens when the two clash? In a world filled with technological and scientific advancements, how does faith remain relevant? And how do believers embrace both? Let's bridge the gap and find harmony between laboratory and the pulpit. We are joined once again by Pastor Matache, who's going to be helping us with this one. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How are you, Zanele?
I am good, and you, Pastor? Thank you so much for coming through once again.
Thank you.
Indeed. Before we start, Mfundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you as we delve deep into this dynamic topic about science and faith. Help us to understand and to navigate safely through the complexities of both. Help this interview to go smoothly and help the listeners to understand and to learn something and to appreciate how organized you are. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And for this, we're speaking about all things, you know, faith and science. And today we want to look at, you know, bridging the gap. So why does science and faith often appear to be in conflict with one another?
Okay, thank you. Like we said yesterday, the conflict seems to be conflict between science and faith. It seems to be coming from the approach and the knowledge and the understanding of different perspectives. Science, like we said, relies on evidence, empirical evidence, observation, experimentation, while faith is based on spiritual beliefs, values, and personal experiences. The difference in approach can lead to conflicting views on issues like creation, evolution, the nature of the universe, since one looks at the how and the other looks at the why.
Mm-hmm.
There might be conflicting views from there.
Mm. Okay. So looking at the scientific, Mfundisi, can a scientific inquiry deepen a person's understanding of God's creation?
Yes, it can. Remember what I said yesterday, true science is not opposed to faith and the word of God. So yes, scientific inquiry can deepen a person's understanding of God's creation. By studying the natural world, scientists can gain a greater appreciation of the complexity between beauty and wonder of creation. This can in turn strengthen their faith and provide new insights into the nature of God and the universe.
Okay. So looking at faith and science, Mfundisi, how do they differ now in terms of their approach when it comes to understanding the universe, right? We may understand that, for example, with faith, they would need evidence. With science, they would need evidence. If something doesn't have evidence for them, it does not exist. Whilst with faith, it's something else. You know, we don't really need the evidence as we believe it exists, you know. So how do they differ in terms of their approach?
Yeah, I said God is reasonable. Mm. He will supply sufficient reason, but he will not take away doubt. So faith and science, they differ in approach. Let me mention three ways. One, methodology.
Okay.
Science relies on empirical evidence, observation, experimentation. Faith relies on belief systems, values, personal experiences. So the methods differ, and then they also differ in assumptions.
Mm.
Science assumes that the universe operates according to natural laws and principles, while faith assumes that the universe is created and sustained by a divine being
mm-hmm.
or power.
Oh, okay.
So one focuses on the creation, the other focuses on the creator.
Mm.
And thirdly, the scope. Science focuses on understanding the natural world, while faith encompasses a broader range of questions, including the meaning, the purpose of life, and the creator himself.
Mm. Hmm. Okay. So looking at, we have our own beliefs in Fundis, right? Where most of us, we find we are taught from the pulpit, we are taught wherever we are taught, you know, from the Bible as well. We study things and then our beliefs, you know, they're strengthened, they're solidified. So looking at those personal beliefs that we have, what role do they play in terms of interpreting scientific facts? Here is a fact that is coming from the scientists. They are saying the world was not created in 7 days, you know, the issue of creation. They are having their own evidence saying that we came from the dinosaurs, etc., etc. But then me, my faith is telling me that God created the world in 7 days, you know. So how does now our personal faith help us in terms of interpreting, you know, these scientific findings or scientific facts?
Yeah, this one is the most challenging one.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, how do we harmonize then the focus on evidence, empirical evidence and data,
mm.
and the focus on belief systems.
Mm.
So I will mention four things. So first, let me say the personal belief systems, they can play a significant role in interpreting scientific facts. Scientists, like all people, they bring their own biases and assumptions and values to their work. These personal beliefs can in turn influence how scientists interpret data, design experiments, and communicate their findings. The scientific method, however, is designed to minimize the impact of personal beliefs and to ensure that findings are based on empirical evidence. Let me give examples. So science will talk about nature.
Yes.
And how things try to interpret the created things, the created works of God. Faith will try to explain why God created those things. And though there seems to be a conflict, here is how we can harmonize. So from the Bible, let me use the Bible for example. Psalms chapter 19, verse 1-6, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
The skies proclaim the work of his signs. What is the Bible focusing on? God and his glory revealed through his created works. And signs will come and explain how marvelous are these works or creations that God has done. So it will come and give you details about the wonder that we can see in nature.
Okay.
Yes, you look at Psalms chapter 104, verse 24. It says, oh Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. So you look at the created works, you can wonder and see the power of God. Science, of course, focuses on the wonder that is found in nature.
Mm-hmm.
How the heart functions, how a person is a combination of systems, the nervous system, the digestive system, and all those systems that we put in a person.
Mm.
Religion then will come and focus on the God who created the system. So how do we
incorporate
that?
Mm.
one focuses on the systems, the other focuses on the one who created the systems.
Mm-hmm.
So does not desire, does not deny that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we are losing Mpundisi there. Yeah, Mpundisi.
Okay. So science will tell you that the world is governed by natural laws.
Mm.
And faith will come and say it's God who put those natural laws into place.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Acts 14, 17, it says God did not leave himself without a testimony. And his testimony is through his created works. So if you read a book written by my favorite writer, Ellen G. White, it's called Counsels and Testimonies on Behavior and Hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
It says it is not the will of God that men and women should die prematurely, leaving their work unfinished. He would have us live out the full measure of our days with every organ free to do its allotted work.
Okay.
Many complain of the providence of God when disease and death remove members from of the household, but it is unjust to charge God with what is but the sure result of their own transgression of natural laws.
Mm-hmm.
Science will teach us that we have to obey the laws of. And if we disregard the laws of nature, there will be consequences. And it's God who has put those laws of nature. Mm. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 163, says the same point. In order to live a perfect life, we must live in harmony with those natural laws which govern our being. Science does not deny that we have natural laws that govern us. If you eat certain foods, you might end up with certain diseases. Science explains that to us.
Okay.
And God demonstrates that he is the one who created this and they should be obeyed. So there is actually harmony in true science and faith.
Okay. So looking at our various church settings, Mfundisi, have they created a platform or a chance for us to discuss scientific facts as well as, well, we're always discussing faith issues, but then where we can speak about, you know, scientific things and scientific facts that are there in that faith setting?
Yeah, The challenge that we do is, if you put a scientist and a pastor, like I said, each one will focus on their field of study.
Mm.
And no one is willing to hear the other.
Okay.
So what we should do instead, we should focus on the intersection of science and faith. Where do these specific fields correlate? Okay,
mm-hmm.
So we can explore how science and faith intersect and complement each other rather than emphasizing areas of conflict.
Mm.
I'm not saying there are no areas of conflict. They are there from what I would call false science.
Mm.
But in more often than not, science and faith complement each other and they have these intersections, like I said.
Mm.
Science can articulate on the use of the human body, its function, the physiology, how God created these systems and how they are meant to function, and the abuse of such functions and the results and the consequences that one may face or suffer.
Mm.
Religion does not deny that.
Okay.
Faith will come and then explain that it is God who designed these things and he wants these things to be done.
Mm.
What we have from both sides, we need to shun extremism. We need to avoid the scientists who try to divorce God from his creation. And we also need to avoid the pulpit that tries to distance science that is true science, that people who think they can eat grass and drink petrol in the name of faith.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we need to avoid, if we can avoid that and focus on how does science, and because no matter how much you pray, if you disregard the laws of health, or you climb on the top of a mountain, you say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to jump, and the angels are going to hold me. Jesus refused this.
Mm.
He said, this is putting God to test. This is testing God.
Mm.
So we cannot obey God while he's breaking the natural laws.
Mm.
So the natural laws don't say, if you go up, you will come down.
Yeah.
There are laws of gravity. You can't break those in the name of Jesus. You can't do that. You can't drink petrol and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to be affected.
Mm.
Obviously, that is going to affect you. And yet we have people who are, I said yesterday that we have less intelligent men of God who want to use faith, abuse it, and do things that will endanger our bodies and our lives. They want to run over people with their cars, and they say, in the name of Jesus, these people will not be harmed. Of course, we know they will be harmed.
Mm.
Okay. And we also have extreme scientists who say everything exists on itself. There is no God, which is also unreasonable. There is no design without a designer.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, two, we also need to encourage open and respectful dialogue.
Okay.
Let's create a safe and supportive environment where people feel comfortable sharing their thoughts and opinions. Nowadays, we have, this happens especially in churches. If a scientist would come to church, the reason why I told you most young people, when
we're losing the network there. Pastor is just speaking to us about all things.
Impose their opinions as facts, and they don't want people to ask for proof or evidence or where they get these things. They are offended. They are quick to show their badges and their positions and say, who are you? How can you ask this? How can you? Did you do this? I'm the bishop. We are the... No. So scientists will come, and then when they come to our churches, if we are not careful, we will be offended by their questions. And yet their questions should help us understand how big God is. God is not intimidated by people who ask. He is the one who invites us, come, let us reason together. So any religion that shuns reasoning is a false religion.
Yeah.
So, like I said, point number three, we must also invite scientists and experts as churches to come and share their perspectives. Let's say we want to, we invite a scientist, and he comes and we are doing a Sabbath school, and it's speaking about Genesis chapter 15, God showing Abraham. He says, look into the stars and number the stars. If you can, then shall your descendants shall, they shall be like this. And then we invite a scientist and say, tell us about stars, you know? And then the scientist explains and explains to us that how many stars are probably known to humanity, how this gives us a deeper scope of understanding what it is that God was actually saying to Abraham.
Yeah.
But if we are intimidated by them, then we can't invite them. If you are also unreasonable, we if we are unreasonable and we are afraid of school, then we can't invite them. They will come and prove how false our God is. So we must also invite them. They come, they share their perspectives, their insights, and they provide us with accurate, unbiased information. And they allow us to also engage with them. Yes, and lastly, we should avoid dogmatic or confrontational approaches. This is where most discussions die in the water. As soon as we put two people who have different beliefs, people tend to confront each other and want to look at where others are doing wrong or who is wrong here. Who, instead of us trying to find who is wrong, who is right, we should find what is wrong, what is right.
Mm.
So like we must also be inquirers. We must also foster a spirit of curiosity and inquire and be inquirers. And we must always have mutual respect. Disagreeing does not mean that we are enemies.
Sure. And I like that, you know, Mpundisi, where you said that we must also not be confrontational, right? Because we've seen, even with faith-based discussions, where the emotions, they run through the roof. Imagine more now of science, where some of the science, you know, discussions, they discredit everything, you know, that we have in terms of our faith. So as we wrap up, Mpundisi, I'm going to ask that, do you have any words that you, any final remarks or words, you know, that you would like to say with regards to this issue of bridging the gap between faith and science, and also please do offer a word of prayer.
Okay, thank you so much. So lastly, I would say let's not frown at knowledge. Let's always create a room to learn, and let's learn to disagree respectfully. Even like you said, you put two different churches who have different belief systems, timbers would flare.
Mm.
People would raise their voices instead of raising their arguments.
Mm.
So we should learn to improve the quality of our arguments and to raise the arguments rather than raising our voices at each other.
Mm.
We should learn more about the God that we claim to worship through the natural laws, and try to understand those natural laws and respect them and understand the consequences that will come if we neglect those natural laws. And let us always be inquirers. When something new comes up, let's not be quick to try and shoot it down, but inquire, what is this about?
Mm.
What am I likely to learn? What am I likely to unlearn? Remember, unlearning is more important than learning.
Sure, I like that. I like that. Please pray for us, Mpundisi.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the interview. Let's hope your people have been enhanced and they will learn something. Teach us. We don't know everything. There are a lot of things that we need to learn, and help us to be humble. The key message of the gospel is that we should be humble enough to learn from others so that they can see the moral power in our behavior that can impact them to want to know more about you. We thank you for this World Adventist Radio. Bless their endeavors in reaching out to many souls and preaching the gospel. Through these interviews, give them comprehensive and more powerful topics to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
You too, thank you.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Yeah.